Meeting to order. The record reflected it's 3:48 PM Thursday, January 28th, 2010. I would like to go ahead and show that we have a quorum. Senator Thomas is here, Senator Kukish, Senator Menard, and myself, Senator Olson. Senator French will be joining us at a later time. Today's agenda is in front of us. I want to remind everybody, first of all, to go ahead and turn off your cell phones and look first at the under the correspondence and information you have provided. There's a copy of the Local Boundary Commission decision on annexation by the City of Fairbanks, and this is provided only to for informational purposes only. The purpose of the meeting today is to take up two pieces of legislation, Senate Bill 43, an act adding a second verse to the official Alaska State Song, and Senate Bill 212, an act authorizing municipalities to designate energy improvement areas to establish energy and improvement areas. We'll begin with Senator Menard. I'd like to go ahead and welcome you as a sponsor of Senate Bill 43, adding the second song.
Okay, thank you. Do you want me to get started then?
If you would, please.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to speak on Senate Bill 43. Senate Bill 43 will add an official second verse to the Alaska Flag Song. The bill has a zero fiscal note and will put into statute something many music lovers, myself included, and history buffs have wanted for years. It will also pay homage to a woman who wrote the second verse out of love for Alaska and its native population. Just a bit of history. The flag song was adopted by the territorial legislature in 1955. The song was written by Juneau resident Marie Drake, who worked for the Department of Education. The second verse of the flag song, which we're speaking about today, was written by Carol Beery Davis in 1987. This is the appropriate time to add the second verse to the flag song because of the recent 50th anniversary of statehood. Passing this bill will also be a long overdue honor to Carol Beery Davis and by extension pay homage, something's ringing, to Benny Benson, the young man who designed the Alaska state flag. Benson is mentioned in the second verse in a stanza reading, "A native land shows the dipper stars for Alaska's flag that there be no bars among our cultures." Most recently, both houses of the legislature heard the second verse when the Alaska Youth Choir sang just before the opening of our session. Here to testify today is Carol Beery Davis's daughter, Constance Davis. She goes by Connie, who I'm sure will be happy to answer any of your questions and just give a brief overview of how the second verse of the Alaska flag song came to be. So if, with your indulgence, if I can defer to Connie at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Connie Davis, please. For the record, state your name, who you're affiliated with, and then go ahead with your testimony.
My name is Connie Davis, and I'm the third daughter of Carol Beery and Trevor Davis. And I'd like to give a short history on both the verses. Eleanor Dusenberry and Marie Drake were close friends to my mother. Marie Drake and my mother came to Juneau in about 1920. And Marie took a job with as secretary to the Commissioner of Education. And my mother, of course, was working for 7 years at the Palace Theater playing the organ for the silent movies. The two of them became good friends, and of course, Juneau was very small at the time, so everybody knew everybody else. And 7 years after they arrived, everybody was very excited about the possibility of having a state territorial flag. Governor Parks had been in Washington, D.C., had visited the rotunda of flags, and he was told that the only reason there was not one depicting Alaska was because we did not have one. So the they all starred the governor and the American Legion all started the contest for the school children to create a flag. And I think they, at that time, the final approval and choosing the flag was done in Juneau. Five different people came from different parts of Alaska, and here in Juneau there were three people. After the flag was chosen, the Commissioner of Education mentioned to Marie that he thought it'd be nice if the school children received a little flag and also a copy of the Flag Act. And Marie thought that that would be too much for the children. The Flag Act was not appropriate. And she said they should have a jingle or something they could understand about the flag. And so he said, okay, you write it. And she did. And that's what we have, and I think it's a lovely song. The fact that only one thing was left out of the song, and that was the recognition of the Alaska Natives and of Benny Benson himself, who designed the flag. So Marie wrote the poem, and people, she presented it to all the schools. She actually traveled all over the country to introduce this poem to the children. And it was not officially recognized by the legislature until 1955, which was strange because all the school children were learning it. And the song itself, had, the accompaniment came into being because Eleanor Dusenberry, although she had lived in Haines for 3.5 years, she and her husband moved back to Omaha, and she was very homesick for Haines. And she was sailing south on a ship, and she had found a book on Alaska with a picture of the flag and of the poem, and she just was, with tears in her eyes, she started to think about the music to accompany it. So that was adopted later with the verse. But people were singing it much before then. The children really enjoyed the poem, and they loved to learn the song. So the second verse is in context with the first verse. It is recognizing all natives, especially Benny Benson, and it's recognizing the beauty of the land and the progress we've made together. So it is very appropriate to match the first verse. I think that I would call it not a remodeling, but it's an addition to the song. It's not changing the song in any way. Some people worried about that. Let me see if I've forgotten anything I wanted to say. I think that was about the main idea. I really would like to see everyone learning the song again. We not all the newcomers to this state know the song, and it'd be worthwhile if the university at Fairbanks could, since they have the copyright, if they could print again. They used to print a sheet music and send that around to the different schools. I have a copy here, but I spilled water on it. But anyway, I would like to see that both verses would be on that sheet music, and that everybody could see it and learn it. So if you have any questions, I might have forgotten something.
Do we have any questions of Ms. Davis before we? Actually, I'm sorry, Senator Menard.
I just wanted the committee members to take note that also in the packet is a couple paragraphs from our own Fran Ulmer, who used to be the mayor here in Juneau, as well as served in the legislature and as our lieutenant governor. And she would be here too in person if she weren't in Norway. But Fran has really expressed a desire on her part. The university is behind allowing us to use this and many, many musicians are trying to make CDs and use the second verse. And this would just certainly clean all that up, and I would just love to see adoption of this second verse of the last. And I as well have sheet music at my home.
Oh, good. Well, Missouri Smythe, who has been conducting the Alaskan Youth Choir in Juneau, they travel often to other countries, and they've been singing that second verse right along. So that's good to know that some people have heard it.
Sure. Any further questions, Ms. Davis?
What was that?
I have actually one question. The question that I just want to make sure in my own mind that it's Mary Drake. Murray Drake is the one that wrote the poem.
She wrote the poem.
And Eleanor Dusenberry wrote the melody.
She made the accompaniment, yes.
Oh, okay.
And they both worked very hard to get it together, but they did not work together. Eleanor was in Omaha by then, but it was, she did get it. I think Fred Waring, I don't know if you know some of these names, but there was a Fred Waring choir on one of the radio stations. They sang it, and so Omaha began to know it before we did. They had several different stations playing it. She had somebody she knew, I guess, in the business. But I would like to mention that at the time that people were talking about a second verse, and finally one friend here approached my mother about it, and so my mother stayed up all night. She, I think, was on a creative roll. This is her last gift to the state, and she was only 95 years old.
In 95 years old in 1987?
No, yes, in 1987. Yes, yeah, when she created the second verse, she was 95 years old.
Well, that's pretty sharp.
Yeah,
Fred Waring, that's a name like Lawrence Welk or somebody from watched back then.
Yes, that's true.
Any further questions of Ms. Davis by members of the committee? Oh, before we go any farther, I'd like to go ahead and recognize that, speaking of Alaska history, we have Senator Egan here, and before he comes up and testifies to the song, we'll just want to recognize that he's in the, and you're welcome to go ahead and come on up here and sit at the table, Senator Egan.
I'll be up for a
minute. Okay. At this time, we'd like to go ahead and open it up for public testimony for Senate Bill 20, or 43. Do we have a sign-up sheet handy? Okay. Does anybody in the room want to go ahead and testify to Senate Bill 43? Yeah, come on up and state your name for the record. State your name for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
I'm Connie Monroe, a Juneau resident, retired adult educator from the Department of Education. But I'm also a member of Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 2. And what I wanted to go for to say on record is that as a new resident of Alaska in 1971, and the first activity that I went to was here at the legislature when this was sung, the first verse was sung, and I was a little stunned. And when I made some remarks to some of the legislators that I had learned to know right away, I said, well, I don't think I'll sing this song anymore in public until the Alaska Natives are recognized. And at that time, Frank Ferguson and Alvin Osterbach were in the House and Senate, were both in the House. And I did want to say that when I talked to Carol Berry Davis about it, she said, well, what we ought to do is have a second verse and have a contest. So I took this back to the Native Coalition of Legislators. And they talked about it at their Friday dinners, and they had decided that no, absolutely no contest, that if there's a second verse, it should be a gift by someone that is not a Native. And I tried to think about that rationale for a long time, and nothing happened. We didn't have a contest. It wasn't talked about again. And it wasn't talked about until I lost my job with the state when everything fell in 1985 and 6. and was moving to Boston, and I went over to Carol's and said, goodbye, I'm going for my interview, and the only thing I regret that I haven't done is to have a second verse gift. And she called me up the next morning, and she said, please come over, I have your gift. And there it was. And I knew I had a lot of work to do, because I wanted the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood to approve of it, and I wanted the legislators that I knew who were Alaska Native to look at it and say yay or nay. And so everything went very well, and Dorothy Wallace was one of our elders and leaders in Camp 2, and she testified for the first hearing. And the Grand Camp, Alaska Native Grand Camp, also had a resolution to accept the gift. And I do hope that this body, who is now taking the leadership, which we have needed and I have prayed for, and I am so pleased to see it as a bill from the Senate, will take the lead and get this through the House and Senate, because I don't have many years left. And I really would like to see it happen, and I thank all of you.
Before you get up from your seat, let's ask any members of the committee any questions of Ms. Monroe.
Oh.
So if I'm understanding the procession is that as you were leaving, you talked to Carol and asked her to go ahead and how did you feel?
I had to see something in writing before I left. And by the way, when I came back from Boston, I did get the job with the Department of Ed there from our former commissioner who was here at one time. They said, you have your job back, but you have to take 5 different federal programs. So that I stayed. I didn't have to leave my chosen state. And I've been here 38 years.
So how does it feel to ask a 95-year-old lady to write a song?
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
Are there any more questions?
Any further questions? Thank you very much, Ms. Monroe. Our next public testimony person is Murray Darling. Ms. Darling, please.
My name is Marie Darling, and I'm a third generation Junoite, along with Connie. And I just want to say that I'm glad to see this is finally getting to the point where it just might actually become law, because this has been tried before a couple of different times, never got all the way through, and yet we've all been waiting for it to happen. One thing Connie did leave out in her history of all of this really was the fact that her father was also on the committee, one of the Juno people who selected the flag that then was Benny's. So there's a connection there in several ways. And having grown up here, I mean, I've knew Carol Berrio and Marie Drake all my life. In fact, Carol taught me piano in the 1930s, which I never did much with, but a lot of her other students sure did. But anyway, I'm just glad to see that this is finally at this point where hopefully it may become law, because I think it really deserves it. That's it.
Any questions of Ms. Darling by members of the committee? If not, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. If not, we have the pleasure of having our first state governor's number one son here. If you'd like, we want to go ahead and hear from him as to what his thoughts and ideas are on what kind of other historical niceties that we can hear from his perspective.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I wasn't planning on testifying, but I'm in full support of this legislation introduced by...
With all due respect, Senator Egan, could you just state your name for the record?
Yes. I'm Dennis Egan, Senator from District B, and a resident of Juneau, third generation, and I'm in full support of this. I have talked to former Lieutenant Governor Fran Ulmer, former Mayor Fran Ulmer, at length about this, and in fact, our Juneau Assembly passed a resolution in support of this years ago, and I'm very pleased that the committee is taking this up, and hopefully we'll have passage in the legislature.
Any questions of Senator Egan by members of the committee? If not, I do have one question. What would your dad say as far as the song goes?
Absolutely.
He'd be in favor.
In fact, my mother is in the Pioneer Home. She's 95 in the Juneau Pioneer Home, and she still sings the first verse of Alaska's Flag Song every day. And she is slowly learning verse number two, although her eyesight is not that well right now. But she would be fully supportive of it, and our entire family would be.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. If no further questions.
Mr. Chair.
Is there anybody else in the room that wants to go ahead and testify to Senate Bill 43? If not, Senator Thomas, would you make a motion? I'm sorry.
Just a couple of comments, if I could, for the record. I want to recognize Connie Monroe's dedication over the years. I've seen it, and I've worked with her for years with the Alaska Native Brotherhood, and I just think she's a wonderful person. I'm sorry I didn't get to know the other members of the history that came down the block here to get us to where we are. But Connie, thank you so much for all of your work. I do want to make a couple of personal comments. It's probably something I shouldn't say in terms, because I am an Alaska Native, you know, and I've lived in the state since I was born. I guess my point is that I was here when we voted before, and it was really a disappointment to see it fail and not be able to get it past the two bodies. But I've also been here in the House and in the Senate and watched as history around us and the majorities that I was involved with then would not let us adopt a bill in this House or in the Senate that had the word Alaska Native or the word tribes in it. Until last year. For the first time in our history, we were able to pass two bills last year with the word tribe and the word Alaska Native in it. So it isn't something that has happened or not happened to us recently. In fact, if you look at the state seal, and if you get a chance, look at it. Look at the Alaska state seal and see if you can see any depiction at all of the Alaska Native in it. You can't. I think this is a great step in the right direction, and I hope, for not just for my sake, but for Connie's sake, we can get it passed. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Kukish. Any further comments from the members of the committee? If not, Senator Thomas.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion that we move Senate Bill 43. To the next committee of referral with individual recommendations, and I do not see any fiscal note attached at all. So.
Okay. Without opposition, this committee, this bill moves on. Let's take short at ease. We need to go ahead and restate the motion, Senator Thomas.
I would move that Senate Bill, we move Senate Bill 43 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and a zero fiscal note.
Without opposition, this bill moves on to the next committee of referral. Next, we have Senator Thomas would like to go ahead and address some of the issues.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would like to request that that the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee hold hearings when scheduling allows on the Local Boundary Commission, which we have before us, decision December 10, 2009, approving the annexation of several parcels of property in the Fairbanks area.
Okay, we so noted. If
hearings
not,
with a explanation and presentation by the Local Boundary Commission to see, you know.
Okay, you got that. Okay, we'll go on to Senate Bill 212 then, Municipal Energy Improvement Program. Senator Egan, sponsor of the bill, please come up. You're doing it yourself or staff is doing it?
my staff member, Alita Buss, will be joining me if that's okay with you.
Come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Senator Dennis Egan. Like to talk briefly about Senate Bill 212, Municipal Energy Improvements. And next to me is my staff member, Alita Buss. And, Mr. Chair, I apologize. This is the first, this is number one for both of us. So, correct me if I goof up, but we'll try to answer all your questions. Senate Bill 212 helps create jobs, retrofit our built environment, and create more sustainable communities. Much of Alaska's energy is used in buildings, and this bill helps make our buildings more energy efficient. It is an innovative financing mechanism that's designed to accelerate the energy retrofits of Alaska's homes and commercial buildings. Property owners borrow money from a newly established municipal financing district to finance energy retrofits, including efficiency measures and micro renewable energy. Then it will be repaid over 20 years through an annual special tax on a municipality's property tax bill. This financing model has been successful in 16 other states to date and numerous counties throughout the United States. It's an option only for municipalities. Municipalities can opt in or opt out. The bill gives power to the municipalities under Title 29, Chapter 35, and my staff person, Alita Buss, will be able to walk you through the legislation and answer any questions you may have. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kukesh.
If a municipality chose to participate and the district would issue a bond, what if they don't issue a bond? I guess they just don't, wouldn't have the money for the program then, huh?
It's voluntary, Senator Kukesh. The municipality doesn't have to opt in, but it gives them the mechanism that they can opt in. We're concerned as well about the smaller communities in the state, and with some tweaks, I mean, we're assuming that some of the revolving energy money could be used for this and funded through the municipality. This municipality can set the rates and the terms as well.
Just for the record, could you tell me, could I follow?
Senator Kukesh,
just
please.
For the record, could you tell me, let's say somebody owns a home, they get one of these loans, then they move, sell the property. Does the bond obligation stay with
it's,
the home?
Senator, it's on
the owner.
Right, Senator, it's on the, it would be on a part of your property tax bill. So if you sold your home or your home was foreclosed, you would have to pay the entire debt. Just like municipalities do now.
I see, that's innovative. Good.
And my staff member, Alita Buss, is.
For the record,
Senator Egan, with all due respect, if somebody has a foreclosure going on, though, they're not going to pay any bills.
Well, they're not going to be getting rid of the building either. Before, if they, the municipality forecloses on the building, the municipality is going to sell it, and they'll collect the tax.
Do you think they'll be able to go ahead and report or get back what they put into it?
I believe so.
Senator Menard has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Egan, would you say then what you're trying to do here is establish a fund that the municipalities can choose to be part of or not? Correct?
That's correct.
And then when you spoke of 16 other states, is the commonality was that like Midwest states similar in weather conditions? Have you studied that?
Madam Senator, they're all over the nation.
Okay.
There are states on the East Coast, states on the West Coast, Oregon, Colorado, as an example, on the West Coast. There are major communities that are doing this in California. Los Angeles is involved in a similar type program.
What's the success of those programs that are out there in the other states?
Well, according to the National Council of State Legislatures, it's very successful.
Mm-hmm. Senator Kukesh.
Could you tell me, and maybe your staff can answer this question if you don't know it, if you want to sell your house, how do you disclose the bond obligation?
For the record, My name's Alita Buss. I'm legislative aide for Senator Dennis Egan.
It probably would come up on a title sheet because see the way I envision it working, you go and you get the loan, you do all these improvements on your house so you have an additional tax burden payment that you have to make to the municipality. It seems to me that has to be a disclosure there someplace. I just don't know how that would work.
Well, it would be part of your mortgage, Senator. I mean, it would, I'm assuming the way other municipalities are doing it, and it has posed some concern with certain lending organizations, that it would be a first. The city, you owe the property tax, and this would be tacked onto your property tax bill.
Senator Kukesh,
and the difference is then it's not on your mortgage, like you just said, but it's on your tax bill.
Absolutely.
Your tax bill will, you would show to your, the municipality will show you having a tax obligation.
That's correct.
That you would have to pay. So if somebody's going to buy your home,
they would have to
be informed about the tax obligation.
That's right, Senator, that they would assume the obligation.
Thank you.
Any further questions of the bill sponsor by members of the committee? If not, Ms. Buss? Did you have any more to present on the bill?
If there's no more questions, then no.
Okay. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just looking at similar similar kind of question as Senator Kukesh asked, on page 2, section B, in addition, the municipality may require any other security for a loan that the municipality determines to be reasonable. What does that language imply that has been done maybe in some of those other states? What other instruments do they potentially make use of, if you're aware?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, which line are you looking at?
I'm on page 2, line, I should use the line, line 10 and 11.
In addition, the municipality may require any other security for a loan that the muni determines to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking for what?
What type of instruments that may be? What type of?
Okay.
Senator Thomas, I think it would be through the chair. It would be up to the municipality. The municipality, in this proposed legislation, would set the term and set the amounts and the interest rate. So I'm assuming at least other municipalities, and looking at ordinances that have been passed in other communities, they vary. It's set by the municipality, and so the municipality would set what is required of the owner of the property, you know, the term or the caveats that, you know, would be involved.
Follow up, Senator Thomas?
I was just curious what some of those other collateral may be that they would consider, I guess, you know.
We'll get you the information, Senator.
Senator Egan, is there anybody opposing the bill?
Not yet, Mr. Chair.
Are you anticipating opposition?
We talked to the state assessor. Uh-huh. A couple of days ago, and the state assessor is not in opposition to the bill.
Okay. What about some of the municipalities? Or AML?
In discussions that we've had with the city and borough of Juneau and the Alaska Municipal League, no, they do not oppose it.
Okay. Senator Kukesh.
This is really strange. I've never seen this before, but it says then from Tamara Cook, says the municipality must provide an explanation of the program to electric and natural gas utilities operating in the area of the proposed program at least 30 days before adopting the ordinance. I never have seen that in my life. Why would you have to tell the local gas and electric companies that you're going to adopt an ordinance, for heaven's sake? Where did that come from? You don't have to answer it now, but could you find out what that means? Why would she put it in that? I never heard of a municipality having to tell a local gas or
utility
or utility right.
that you're going to adopt an ordinance.
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, I
know you can't answer because that's I never have seen that before. Maybe we can ask Ms. Cook, or even if it passes out to the next committee, could answer it or ask why tell a utility. I don't know.
Any further questions from the bill sponsored by members of the committee? Anybody? Nobody's set up to testify, is that right? And nobody's online? Anybody in the room want to go ahead and testify on this bill? If not, we'll go ahead and hold this bill over till next time.
Can I make a comment?
Senator Kukesh, go ahead.
I just want to say it's very innovative. I think it's very innovative. I think this is a good program to try to establish some energy savings in the state. Because we have a great energy program in, that started off last year for the state, but not everybody qualifies or fits under those special categories, and this may be one of those categories that would pick up that slack. But I think it's innovative. Thank you.
I guess one of the questions I have is if it's such a good bill, why wasn't it put into place years and years ago? We got a freshman legislator. I'm not, you know, with all due respect to you, we've got a freshman legislator here who's obviously got a lot more energy and ambition. Maybe his staff is the one that kind of put it together, but I guess I'm somewhat impressed. If not, we'll hold this bill over till February 4th.
Thank you, Mr.
Take
Chair.
Another look at
Thank
it
you,
then.
Mr. Chair.
And any other matters to come before the committee? If not, our next committee meeting will be on February 4th. This meeting is adjourned at 4:25.